to throw. Has time over the middle, intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20, needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time, Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
It's Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. It's all presented by Andrew Mark. Of course, you can also send in your questions on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Mr. Eisen, good morning.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing well. Doing very well.
Now, the Giants have been busy. We haven't had you on in a while, so we have a lot of ground to cover here. First things first, the Giants seem to really be solidifying their offensive line and making sure that at the very least they're going to have what they had here last year, but also at the same time giving them chances to improve, whether it's competition from within with James Brewer or perhaps adding somebody in the draft.
Well, they do have the same starting five back that ended the season, the 2012 season, now that Kevin Booth has re-signed. And, of course, Will Beattie re-signed a few weeks ago. David Deal, Chris Snee, who is still recovering from hip surgery, David Boss. But I still think just because those five are back, I think you could still see some changes on the offensive line. I think there's a perception, not just outside the organization, but inside, that you know the line needs to be upgraded or play better. Certainly needs to get maybe a little younger in a couple of places. So I would be, I would expect the Giants to draft a lineman or two. I don't know if they're going to really add any more veterans. There's, you know, I think the tight cap space is still tight, and there's still things to do. But, you know, with the James Brewer and a couple of last year's draft choices, you have some young competition. I think the idea now is just to create competition at spots.
What's going to happen with Sean Locklear?
You know, I don't know. He's not ready to play yet. He had a very serious knee injury that he suffered on December 3rd. When I last spoke to him, he didn't think he'd be ready until the start of the season, not for training camp.
So maybe almost a pupless situation there.
Well, he's a free agent.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So right now I don't think he's going to be – I'm sure the Giants will monitor him if he's not re-signed by somebody else and they're looking for a competition and Sean is able to play, then I think that would be an option, but I don't think it's an option right now.
All right, that's number one. And number two, when you take a look at this offensive line, you mentioned you want to get some type of improvement. James Brewer, do you see him fitting in more as a tackle where he was drafted, or do you see him playing a little bit more guard where I think the Giants used him a lot more at the end of last season, at least in practice and other things like that?
No, I think he's a tackle. I think in the Giants' perfect world that he would succeed David Deal as the right tackle. But no one knows, frankly, if he's ready to do that or he has the ability to do that. He has played next to nothing at right tackle and or overall. So I think one of the something the Giants really want to do this summer in training camp and in the preseason is look at James Brewer tackle.
We're joined by Michael Eisen right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Mike, do you think the Giants are still going to go out of their way to add a veteran running back to this group to give them some insurance behind Wilson and Brown? I know Ryan Terrain's already been brought back. Do you think they'll add somebody else, or are they comfortable with the group that they have?
Comfortable, I don't know. As Tom Coughlin would say, don't like the word.
He does not like that word, comfortable.
Yeah.
That's true.
Will they go out of the way? I think at some point they'll bring in a low-cost veteran running back unless, for some reason, they draft one high, but I really don't see that happening.
Could that person be Ahmad Bradshaw?
It could be Ahmad Bradshaw, although I've read that Ahmad Bradshaw is visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers today.
Read that as well.
But I've thought since the day he was released that if his feet are healthy and he's willing to come in at a reduced price, that Ahmad Bradshaw would always have a good chance to come back here. Obviously, that goes out the window if he signs with somebody else. But I do think the Giants will still bring in a low-cost veteran back to compete.
Now, it seems to me the Giants have done a great job in this free agency period, whether it's re-signing their own guys or bringing in a guy like Cullen Jenkins, in plugging holes. So as they approach the draft here, the Giants can adhere to their usual philosophy, which is draft the best player available. There really doesn't seem to be any gaping areas on this team that have to be filled in the draft, or else this team's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I still think linebacker is a need.
That's the one that I was going to ask you about.
Certainly speed at linebacker on the outside. You know, and the outside linebackers are still largely unproven if you assume that Mathias Kiwanuka is going to play more on the line this year, which we really don't know, but we assume. And
now, OC hasn't officially gone to the Falcons yet either, right?
He hasn't, but I don't. I think there's. I don't think there's anyone who believes OC's going to be back here.
And I was joking with someone the other day. Now the Falcons know what it's like to have a negotiation with OC Umanure. Not exactly the most pleasant thing sometimes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say a linebacker is – I wouldn't call it a glaring need because we do have young linebackers. But, you know, it's a group that's been targeted for a while, and I would suspect if there are players there, the Giants will look there early in the draft. But you're right. There is no – position group right now where you say, oh my goodness, we have to upgrade there immediately in the draft.
You know, it's funny. It seems to me that strong side 4-3 outside linebacker almost seems to be slowly going extinct, because in the college ranks you see a lot more teams playing 3-4. So if you have those big outside linebackers, they're going to be pass rushers out of the 3-4. And they have so many spread offenses now that other outside linebackers are your classic Wills, where they're going to cover the tight end, run around a lot in that Jaquan Williams type of role. I just feel like there aren't a lot of traditional 4-3 Sam linebackers coming out of college or even young guys in the NFL anymore.
No, that's a good point. And, you know, everyone talks about how spread offenses in college are changing NFL offenses, but they're also changing NFL defenses because, as you mentioned, you're not getting the type of players that you would normally get for positions like strong side linebacker. So that's why you have players like Mathias Kiwanuka dropping back from end to play linebacker.
A couple of my Twitter followers that like to follow the show, they get a little insane as we get a lot of Victor Cruz calls and everything, but I should at least get your take on the situation here. It appears to be status quo. The first-round tender is still sitting on the table. Victor, I believe it's until April 19th the field offers some other teams. And, Mike, we talked about it before this process started. It was very unlikely that another team was going to try to go after him, having to give up a first-round pick. And unless something strange happens in the next 3 weeks, that appears to be the case. And Victor's either going to have to sign a long-term contract, whatever the Giants have on the table, or he's just going to have to play under that one-year tender.
Yeah, unless some team is going to come and make a last-minute surprise on April 19th, and, you know, try to flummox the Giants, I don't see anybody out there as willing to make an offer for Victor Cruz. And we've seen throughout this whole free agency period that teams are trying to sign players to low-cost deals, short-term, low-cost deals. I mean, the one-year contract is back in vogue.
The market this year is so down.
Yeah, so I just don't see some team throwing a big multi-year contract at Victor Cruz. So as you said, he's either going to have to sign the tender, which I don't think he's going to do, not when there's a huge, from what we've read, multi-year offer on the table for a lot more than $2.89 million. So eventually I think Victor Cruz is going to sign a long-term contract with the Giants.
And I can see this from both perspectives. Obviously, there's a lot of reports out there as to what offers on the table. We don't know what that offer is. The Giants obviously don't announce that sort of information. But I can see where Cruz is coming from. He sees a guy like Greg Jennings, who he probably thinks he's a better wide receiver than, get a five-year, $50 million contract. He sees a Mike Wallace get that five-year, $60 million deal. He saw Marcus Colston, Dwayne Bowe sign those big-time contracts, you know, this year and last year. And he says, you know, I'm just as good or better than these guys. And he says, I want that same big number on my contract because I've earned it. I deserved it. So I get where Cruz is coming from. But at the same time, Victor should go back and just look at this Giants team over the last few years, whether it's Terrell Thomas or Steve Smith, two guys that were Pro Bowl caliber players heading into their contract year, and they had the opportunity to extend long-term. Instead, they have a similar situation to Victor. They're in a tender last year situation. They played under the one-year contract, and unfortunately, both guys suffered very serious knee injuries. And then all of a sudden, no one's throwing big money at you anymore, so would you rather roll the dice in the one-year tender, risk the $30 million or whatever it is on the table that Victor might have coming to him and try to get 50 over 5 years? Or do you take the 4 years? And then Victor, at the age of 30, which is a pretty young age still, will have a chance to sign another contract as a productive NFL wide receiver.
No question. If Victor feels like he deserves contracts like the other wide receivers you mentioned got, then he can sign his tender and take that gamble.
Right.
It's up to him if he wants to take that risk. I think he'd be crazy. I think a lot of people would be crazy, think he would be crazy. But, you know, athletes, as we know, sometimes have very big egos. And but I just don't see – I think he's got a veteran agent in Tom Condon, and I can't imagine Tom Condon would advise him to sign a tender offer when there's a much larger offer on the table.
And you don't think there's any chance he holds out and doesn't sign that tender, do you?
I mean, there's always a chance. You know, at this time last year, he was adamant that he would not hold out. He will not make that same statement this year. I think the possibility is remote. I mean, he also has to think about how the public perceives him. And if there's a large offer on the table and he doesn't sign it and holds out, I think so a lot of fans are going to turn against Victor and say, oh, look, he's got a big head now. He used to be such a nice young kid. look what he's become.
And finally, salary cap space is not going to be an issue for the Giants in getting this deal done. They'll have a way to free up enough cap space to sign Victor to whatever deal they have on the table.
If they've made the offer, then they have to know they can create the space.
Right.
So it will not be an issue, no.
All right, you want to take one or two calls,
sure,
Mike?
Sure, let's
perfect.
Do it.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Ivan in Staten Island. Ivan, what's going on?
Taking the call.
No problem.
Long-time fan, season ticket holder. And I just wanted to ask a question about our secondary.
Sure.
We haven't really picked anybody up yet in the secondary, and I think it's a spot where the team team could use some help. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think we actually have picked up guys in the secondary. Again, the Giants are really doing a lot of these under-the-radar acquisitions. I like to say, like the 2001 New England Patriots, who signed a whole bunch of guys. No, everyone said they were low-cost unknowns, and they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. I'm not saying we're going to win the Super Bowl, but, yeah, in the secondary, we brought back Aaron Ross, obviously our former first-round draft choice. You know, we re-signed Terrell Thomas. You know, sure, I mean, you can't say no one knows how he's going to react after ACL surgery the last 2 years, but if he can stay on the field, that's a good addition. And then we brought in Ryan Mundy, who is a kind of an unknown, but he's a good safety, also very good special teams player who played with the Steelers. And he's not a first-round draft choice like Kenny Phillips was, but Ryan Mundy did play all 16 games last year. I think Kenny Phillips played about 8 games. Ryan Mundy can stay on the field.
If so, that.
Yeah. So I think we have made some moves in the secondary. And, you know, let's not forget, we still have the draft.
Very true. Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate it, Ivan. Thank you a lot. Appreciate the call. I'll take one more call with Mike before we move on, and I'll take you the rest of the way. Let's go to Len down in Maryland. Len, good morning. How are you?
How you doing? Hey, John. Hey, John, who are you on with? I tuned in a little late today. Who's your guest?
This is the great Michael Eisen, beat reporter for Giants.com.
I'm sorry. I should have recognized your voice, Michael. How are you?
Okay. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, I'm glad I got Michael on here because he might remember this guy. A quick shout-out to one of the really early stars in the NFL, and I say early, I'm back now in the 50s, who passed recently, Harlan Hill of the Chicago Bears, one of the great wide receivers. I guess then they called him ends. They didn't call him wide receivers.
Yeah, he was an end, yeah. Isn't the, the Division II or Division III Most Valuable Player Trophy?
The Harlan Hill Award. The Harlan Hill Award. Harlan was from Florence State Teachers College, which is no longer goes by that name. It's now North Alabama, University of North Alabama. But in the mid-50s there, the Bears just reached out and found this guy at some small school down in Alabama, and he became a real superstar. I was, you know, it's not like today where you can catch these guys on YouTube, plays on YouTube, but I was lucky enough in 56, Michael, we played the Bears twice, once during the regular season, and at Yankees, the old Yankee Stadium,
yeah.
And Hill scored 2 touchdowns that day against the Giants, and of course he didn't do much in the championship game. As you know, we won easily in that game, but I just thought I'd mention Hill was just an unbelievable wide receiver, and today he'd have been earning the $15 million a year if he was playing today. Hey, listen, David Deal, I'm glad he signed. I mean, I'm glad he's back. You know, a great Giant, you know, Mr. Football. You know, you look up football player in the dictionary and you got a picture of David Deal. So I'm glad he's getting another shot. I guess my question, John, Michael, can he make this team? I mean, what do you think?
Oh, sure, he can make the team. Right now, he's the starting right tackle.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I think if you ask me, of the five linemen who ended the season as starters last year, I would say he right now would be the most vulnerable, just from a perception standpoint. And because James Brewer was drafted 2 years ago, and I think eventually the Giants would like him to step into the right tackle role. But David Deal, as we all know, is a very proud veteran, and he is a good player, and he's going to do everything he can to keep his job, and that everything included taking a pretty big pay cut. So,
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I would be surprised if David Deal was not on the team, because he's what the Giants coaches look for, a good player who can play multiple positions, even if he's not starting. I mean, he's a guy who can play four different positions for you.
That's the thing. With that reported pay cut, if he's really only going to be making $1 million or so this year and that cap number is that low, to have a guy that can play four different positions and back them all up and you can depend on him, that guy's hard to come by.
Yeah, I would be surprised. And I believe David Deal will still be the starting right tackle, frankly.
Me too.
I just don't see how.
Here's where I was coming from with it, just real quick. If the Giants went tackle, right tackle, in the opening round of the draft, I thought David's job might be in jeopardy. If they go guard, first round of the draft, I think we can get starters, whether we go tackle or guard. I see Keith Booth's job in a little jeopardy. But that's where my thinking was. But, hey, I'm a Deal fan. I'm glad he's back. He's done a lot for us. And I'm looking forward to seeing Mr. 66 in blue.
Yeah, I think we all are.
All right, Len, thanks for the call, bud.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Take it easy, Len. Yeah, but get Len on. We're talking Harlan
Hill
from the 50s.
Harlan Hill.
Wow. All right, Mike, before we say goodbye, your final thoughts from you to Giant fans that are kind of sitting there and either worried that they didn't make enough big news in free agency, is worried about Cruz not being back, and is looking forward to the draft. Give me some final thoughts here.
I really think there's no need to worry. I mean, you look at some of the acquisitions they've made. Again, you're not talking about these big money, maybe high-profile players, but they've addressed needs. I mean, Dan Connor is a good player, a strong 4-3 middle linebacker. He's going to play middle linebacker. No disrespect to Chase Blackburn, but I think that's an upgrade at middle linebacker. Yes, we lost Martellus Bennett. Martellus Bennett caught 55 passes last year. You replace him with Brandon Myers, who caught 79 passes for a bad team last year. By all accounts, you know, I talked to Michael Pope, the tight ends coach. He was really excited about Brandon Myers. You know, we mentioned Ryan Mundy. You know, he's a very good player. Safety, he's at least the third safety behind Stevie Brown and Antrell Roll. And then you look at the guys we've re-signed, you know, our own guys, Booth and Beatty and David Carr. Having David Carr back as a backup quarterback is huge, though he never plays, because he so well emulates the opposing quarterback, whether it's a drop back or an option quarterback. So, you know, I think the Giants have done a very good job filling holes without spending a ton of money, and we're still a month away from the draft.
Michael, thanks a lot. Have you placed your vote in the most recent round of the Giants Draft Class Challenge, by the way?
Oh, gosh, I got to go do that.
You better go do that right now. Voting closes tomorrow.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it as always, my friend. Great job out of Mike. Good to hear from him talking 1950s Giants football, babe. We like it. Mike's going to go read up and get ready for a Syracuse game tomorrow night. Syracuse is playing, the number one seed in that bracket is Indiana. So they got Indiana on Thursday night at Washington. So I guess it's going to be the late game, probably like 10:30, right? Something like that. So that'll be fun. Got to love the tournament. Eisen's actually in second place in our little bracket thing that we do. All for fun, of course. But so there you go. But Eisen's pumped. Very excited. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Carlos down in Virginia. Carlos, what's up, Pally?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man?
I got a quick question. You know, you got the upcoming draft, you know, some draft coming up soon.
Yes, sir.
What's your thoughts on Manti Te'o on his pro day? That he had improved, you know, from his combine, and what's the you know, him being in the Giants uniform when they picked him, when they picked the first round at 19.
I'd be much more comfortable taking him today than I was right after the combine, considering he improved his 40 time by almost a second and a half. I mean, that's a very significant improvement. I think he ran, what, a 4.62 at his pro day, 4.68, something like that. And he only ran a 4.8 at the combine. So, look, to me, people are terrified about Manti Te'o because of the whole girlfriend thing. And to me, I'm one that thinks you can push that aside. That was a big story 3 months ago. Once he's here, you'll have one day where a bunch of media here bothering the kid about it, and then he's just going to be another football player. And when you get to the football season, you start playing games. In my opinion, people are going to start forgetting about that. And from what I understand, when he was at the Combine, he did a dynamite job in his interview process. I mean, we're talking on scales 1 to 10. He was getting like 13, 14, 15s. This kid lives and breathes football. He's a film guy. And if he does have enough speed, because he's not big and physical enough to be that middle linebacker that's going to, you know, take on the offensive lineman, dispose of him, and then go make a play. He needs to be protected like an Urlacher, where he can run around sideline to sideline and make plays. So if he has the speed to do that, I think he can be an effective player at the NFL level. Now, that remains to be seen. Would I rather have a guy like, say, Alec Ogletree, even with his off-the-field problems, because I think he's a better athlete that can translate to the NFL level? Yes, I'd rather have a guy like that. But do I think Te'o can be a good middle linebacker on the NFL level? I think he can be, but I'd rather have a guy like Ogletree who has more athletic tools in the tool shed than Te'o does.
Oh, okay, and I also want to, you know, applaud Jerry Reese for making all the, you know, signing all these defensive guys that we really needed help on. I think it was a brilliant move, and also signing Brandon Myers, you know, needing a tight end after letting Martellus Bennett go. So I mean, he made some really good choices, you know, and really, you know, making really brilliant moves so far. So, you know, I really applaud Jerry Reese for that.
Hey, Jerry Reese, he might not make the big splashes, but he does what's right for the organization.
Absolutely, absolutely. And hopefully, you know, that'll help us, you know, win this season, win big.
All right, appreciate it, Carlos.
All right, appreciate your time.
Thanks, man. No problem. Thanks for calling. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show. Let's go to Gerson out in California. Gerson, what's up?
How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. What's up, pal?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a I wanted to talk about Victor Cruz.
Sure.
I know he's going to get a little bit around the $8 million here, but you know he should get 9 or 10. I know it's not something that we could just give to him for the cap, but when you think about it, we got him for 2 years at a very good discount. Yeah, we didn't know what we had in him. But we did get 2 solid years of production that, if you think about it, we pretty much given them, if we give them a 5-year deal for like $9 million, you could, you know, get those 2 other years for free pretty much.
No, I hear you. But at the same time, if he can't get that on the market and you can get him at the lower number, which helps your salary cap situation, I think as the Giants organization, that's something that you go out and you do. There's no reason to give him money if you don't have to. You know what I mean?
No, right. I'm just saying, you know, like it wouldn't be a bad thing to give him a little bit more money if we had the room and everything else worked out. Just because we got 2 years of, you know, under $1 million per year.
Yeah, give or take.
So we get a very good deal for the first 2 years. So in that sense, you know, we got a good deal either way. But hopefully we get him signed.
All right, appreciate the call, Gerson. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.
You have a good one. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. And remember, folks, go to Giants.com. Right now it is the quarterfinals, round 2, the Elite 8, if you would, of the Giants Draft Class Challenge, as you have a chance to vote for who you think is the best Giants draft class of all time. Now, I would suggest you go and place your vote, because we have some dogfights going on, and there's still plenty of time for you to make a difference. Voting will go on until Thursday at 5 o'clock, Dave. Is that when we're closing the voting down? 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock on Thursday is when we're closing down the voting. So get in there the rest of today, tomorrow until 4, and place your vote on Giants.com. Now, here are the matchups. Just want to break them down for you one last time before we say goodbye. And this one is the one that's a blowout. the 1981 draft class featuring Lawrence Taylor, Billy Ard, and Byron Hunt. Now, I underestimated this squad. I put them in the lower half of the brackets. I figured one player, nobody else. Except, you know, Billy Ard was a good starter for a few years, too. I don't want to, you know, discount Ard at guard. You know, he was a big part of the Suburbanites. That being said, really a one-player draft class when you talk about star power. LT, all right? He says 82% of the vote after blowing out the Eli Manning draft class or the Phillip Rivers draft class, depending on how you look at it, in round number one. So he's going to move on to the Final Four. Right now he's leading 82% to 18%. The 400 votes have to be made up in a couple days. Not sure that's going to happen. Now, if you take a look at the other ones, these are a little bit closer. Now, the winner of that LT matchup will have a chance to take on, let's see, make sure I have these brackets right. They're going to take on the winner of the matchup of 1983 and 2003. Now, this one is a little bit closer. Right now, it's just 60% to 40%. A little more than 150 votes separate these two draft classes. So you can certainly make a difference in that match if you want to go to Giants.com and vote. And really, this is 2003, which features OC, David Deal, David Tyree, Vasante Shanko, if you get into that. And 1983 doesn't feature a lot of stars, but you have Terry Kinnard, a starring defensive back for the Giants for a while. Leonard Marshall, great pass rusher. Carl Nelson, starting tackle. Perry Williams played a lot in the secondary. Ali Haji Sheik, a good kicker. Andy Hedden, starred at linebacker, good special teams player. So it's kind of star power versus depth in 83 versus 2003. I think when it comes down to it, I think the 83 draft class is better, but I think the 2003 draft class is going to win. But again, is OC that much better than Leonard Marshall? I know a lot of people now say, of course OC is better than Leonard Marshall. Is he? I think they're pretty similar, those two guys, OC and Leonard. Look at their career stats. Very similar players. And you have David Deal and Carl Nelson. Obviously, Carl Nelson didn't have as long of a career as David Deal, but, you know, similar players. Then you have, you know, Terry Kinnard, Ali Haji Sheik, Andy Hedden, David Tyree's special teamer. So, interesting matchup there. You can go and check it out. Then in the other side of the bracket, we have the 84 Giants draft taking on the 2007 draft. Now, I'm really going to be upset. And I said this yesterday. I'll say it again. If the 2007 draft class beats 1984, I'm going to be downright unhappy. Had about four different words in there. I went with unhappy. Carl Banks, William Roberts, Jeff Hostetler. He won a Super Bowl for you guys as your starting quarterback. Gary Reasons. Lionel Manuel. Look at all these starters. It's like 11 Super Bowl rings. It's pretty darn good, folks. A defensive player of the year. An NFL All-Decade Team member. Look, and I get 2007 is close to your hearts. These guys helped the Giants win one, in some cases, two Super Bowls. But only two guys are left on the team. Aaron Ross and Diasi. And Ross was gone last year. Steve Smith of that one monster year blood. His knee, Jay Alfred, knee problem two. Kevin Boss left concussions. Bradshaw the foot. I get it. It was a good draft class. But come on, folks. 84 set the stage for two Super Bowls. 2007, at best, helped you win one. And in that one, Aaron Ross was out with a hamstring a lot of the year, all right? Steve Smith missed most of the year as well with a knee injury. Kevin Boss was a factor. Michael Johnson played at safety a little bit. Bradshaw ran the ball. That's all great, but still, I'm telling you, 84 is the way to go here, folks. Might be the best draft class, in my opinion. That's my choice to go all the way. Right now, they're only leading 55% to 45%. 66 votes. Get in there. Vote for 84. You young folks don't understand history sometimes, but come on now. We're not talking about Sam Huff in the 50s. This is 1984. It's not that long ago. Of course, when you think about it, it's 28 years ago, which is really, really scary. Oh, boy. Old. And the final matchup, the winner of that takes on 1997 and 2005. Right now, 2005 has a slim lead, 63% to 36%. Of course, that's Tuck, Webster, and Jacobs taking on Ike Hilliard, Tiki Barber, Brad Maynard's in that group, and Sam Garns, a starting safety. So that is I think 2005 will win that matchup. I think they probably do deserve to win that matchup. 2005 is one of my favorite classes as well. Them, and if they end the face of 1984 in the next round, I think that's going to be a very, very fun matchup to watch. for Giant fans. So make sure you go to Giants.com, check out the Giants Draft Class Challenge, and place your vote. It should be a lot of fun. Everybody, thanks for joining us this morning on Big Blue Kickoff. I want to remind you, the TPC, the Atomic Performance Center, the Giants facility, is closed tomorrow due to some kind of a power issue. They're rebuilding a transformer or generator or something. I don't know. But we don't have any power, so we can't do a show. That's what's important to you. And then Friday is Good Friday. We're off. I will be out on Monday. Lance Meadow will be in here to step in for me. He'll host the show on Monday. Then I'll be back next Tuesday as we start to get into the NFL draft. April is here. It's draft time. We'll start getting some of those draft experts on, and we'll try to figure out who the Giants are picking with that first-round pick and talk about the other picks in the NFL, too. We do all sorts of stuff around the draft. We'll talk all the NFL teams, other teams in the division. It should be a lot of fun. For an entire crew, I'm John Schmelk. Enjoy your long weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. Big Blue Kickoff live right here on Giants.com.